I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
All right, welcome to the Friday, July 5th edition of KETR's Locker Room. Your hosts, Cooper Welch, Jordan Davis, and Big Chris for this Friday. All right, folks, we've got quite a lot happening on Friday. Of course, we've got NBA free agency to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit of trade scenarios, big if questions for the Cowboys. But we're going to start off the show today with Michael Madrid, the new Paris Junior College women's basketball coach. Coach, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good. All right, Michael, so you just recently got hired here at PJC. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you came from, how you got here, things like that.
Well, I'm originally from New Mexico, grew up in eastern New Mexico, and played high school basketball and football and track, and attended university, Eastern New Mexico University, where I got a bachelor's and a master's degree. Started coaching high school boys there at Portales High School. Was there for a total of 7 years. I basically volunteered for about three, and then moved over to Lubbock, Texas. Coached 3 years of high school boys there, and was fortunate enough to meet Steve Gomez at Lubbock Christian, and he offered me a graduate assistant position on the women's side there at LCU. So I was a GA there for a year. We had really good success. Played in the NAI national tournament that year. It was a lot of fun for those kids playing on national TV. Was very fortunate to be hired full-time for 4 years there, and an opportunity at Texas Woman's University opened up, and I thought that it'd be a great move in terms of going to a NCAA Division II school. Lone Star Conference is obviously one of the toughest conferences in the nation. We were able to win a Lone Star Conference championship my first year there, and this opportunity opened up at Paris Junior College. I've always wanted to be a head coach and was very fortunate enough to get an interview and fortunate to be the one who's chosen to lead this program.
All right. Well, how did you get your start in coaching in general? Like, what drew your interest in that?
Actually, I just sort of fell into it. I started off an accounting major, had no desire to coach, honestly. And in New Mexico, at the time, they had to contract coaches because there was such a teacher shortage. So my old high school coach called and asked me if I could coach his freshman team. And, of course, my initial question was, well, I don't want to do any scouting or go to any varsity practices. And he said, sure. So, I did that for a year and was hooked. And eventually changed my major to special education and started from that point on. So, it's something that once you start doing it, you have a love for it. And to be completely honest with you, I don't know what else I could do professionally right now that would make me as happy as being in the coaching field does.
All right, Coach. This is Big Chris right here talking to you. All right. So, what attracted you to PJC and Paris Junior College?
Well, obviously, the first thing is it's a head coaching position, and everybody that gets in this profession is driven to be a head coach. So that was the initial thing. The size of the community was something that drew me. I grew up in a small town as well, so Paris is a little bit bigger than where I grew up, but when you grow up in a small town, you got that small town feel where you get to go to a store, you meet people, you see everybody, everybody's engaged in all the community activities. So that was something that drew me as well. Obviously, having the opportunity to meet Dr. England and the search committee and the great things they told me about Paris Junior College, just excited me more. So, when I drove away from Paris, I was definitely excited about the opportunity. And, when Dr. Anglin called and offered me the job, I jumped on it and told her that I would accept the position.
Okay, Coach, it's Jordan on the phone. I talked to you earlier.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me what do you hope to accomplish in your time at Paris Junior College?
Well, I mean, the biggest thing is we want to graduate kids. I think that's something that always gets lost in the mix of collegiate athletics, and I think that's one thing that people don't realize about junior colleges is that, these kids, in order to advance to the next level, it's important that they have a degree and they get a great education. I think that there's great educational opportunities there. So, number one, the first thing we want to do is, recruit quality student athletes, educate them, and along the way, you're able to teach them a lot of life lessons on the court, off the court, develop strong relationships, You know, and the most important thing to me, and this has happened in the past to other schools I've been at, is when you continue to hear from kids years down the road, you obviously know that you made a great impact on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's exactly what I'm looking to bring to this program, as well as just bring some stability and some continuity.
Well, Coach, I know you're a recent hire of Parrish Junior College. Have you had any chance to sit down with any of the players that are already on the team, or what's going on there?
Actually, as soon as I got hired, I got in touch with Coach Nettles, who, you know, she will be retained on the staff. And getting to know her, the first thing I did was ask her to send me everybody's phone numbers. So I called every player, introduced myself to them, talked to them for a little bit, got to know them a little bit. You know, they're in the same situation I am. They're probably a little nervous, a little hesitant, and a new head coach coming in. So, and nobody likes change. So the first thing I did was get in contact with them and tell them a little bit about myself. We actually have a player that flew in yesterday. She's going to take a summer class starting in next week, Shannon Defoe. So, you know, it's exciting to be able to sit and talk to her for a little bit. But, you know, the kids seemed excited, and I'm excited, and so we're just ready for the kids to all get here in August and get this thing rolling.
Well, when you sat down and talked to them, what did you talk about for the future direction of the team? Any new, like, offensive styles or changes in defense, recruiting? What's going on there?
Well, you know, in terms of X's and O's, I mean, it's going to be completely different to them. I mean, you know, man-to-man defense, for the most part, when you break it down, is man-to-man defense. You know, there'll be probably some different terminology and things like that. But, you know, I just let them know that our basic defense is going to be man-to-man defense, and we're going to be very intelligent in the way that we play. We're going to be very physical. I told them that one of the things we don't want to do is lead the conference in fouls. So that's just goes back to, you know, playing intelligently defensively. Offensively, you know, we want to push the ball in transition, look for an easy score in transition if we can, put the pressure on the defense immediately. And if that doesn't work out, then we'll just run into some motion offense. I like to run a 3-out, 2-in. That can quickly morph or is hybrid with a 4-out, 1-in. So, you know, in terms of recruiting, we will try to recruit kids that fit into that system. Guards that can run the floor, can shoot it, can get to the rim. I like post players that are versatile enough to be able to step out and shoot the three and stretch the defense some. You know, in a perfect world, every kid that is returning will fit into that system, but I'm smart enough to know that may not happen. So, you know, if we've got to adjust or change what we're doing defensively and offensively to fit this team's strengths, then that's what we'll do, and we'll do that every single year.
All right, Coach. Well, like, you know, I know you're a new, you know, just got hired there, but do you have any aspirations or dreams to be, you know, a coach at a bigger university, like maybe in a Lone Star Conference or, you know, things like that?
You know, obviously, if something like that were to come up later on down the line, I would certainly take a look at it, but right now, my main concern is just getting to know these kids, getting to know everybody on the campus, excited about this opportunity. So, you know, we have a couple of scholarships that we're looking to offer. And so Coach and I are on the recruiting trail this month. We're actually going to Duncanville tomorrow and Frisco on Sunday. But, you know, we're just excited about this year and ready for these kids to get there as soon as possible.
All right, so who's a player to watch out there? Sorry, Joe.
I was just about to ask that.
Well, who's a player to watch out there this year?
Well, you know, that's a tough question, honestly, for me to ask simply because I have not had an opportunity really to see the players firsthand. You know, obviously Coach Nettles has told me a little bit about them. You know, there's some returning players that played some minutes last year, and there's some newcomers. So in terms of me being able to answer that right now, that would be tough for me to answer simply because I have not had an opportunity actually to work with the kids and, you know, give you a fair assessment of each one of them.
All right, Coach, we're doing a segment where we do with every guest on the show called Rapid Fire. We're going to ask you 21 questions, and the first thing come off your head, we want to hear it, all right?
Okay. Yeah.
And we're going to start it off with some theme music, so here we go. All right, Coach, so first, your favorite sport to watch?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Your favorite sport to watch?
Basketball.
Okay.
Favorite sport to play?
Golf.
The best vacation you ever had?
Going back to New Mexico to see my mom.
What job would you have done besides coaching?
Something in sales.
All right, so, you know, prettiest woman in the world, something, you know, I like to talk about.
Say that again, I'm sorry?
I said prettiest woman in the world.
prettiest woman in the world, my mother.
What's the favorite thing you like to do when you're bored?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
What's the favorite thing you like to do when you're bored?
Read.
Okay, let's see. If you could pick your last meal, what would it be?
Red enchiladas.
If you can only grab 5 items from a burning room, not animals or people.
Pictures, my cell phone, laptop, my collection of CDs, and my Oklahoma Sooner cap.
Best athlete in the world.
Current or former?
It doesn't matter. The best athlete in the world to you.
Michael Jordan.
Okay. Favorite food?
Mexican food.
All right, so watch a game on TV or at the stadium?
On TV.
Would you rather be rich and lonely or poor and have a lot of friends and family?
Rich and lonely.
Best ice cream flavor?
Rocky Road.
Favorite sports team?
Oklahoma Sooners.
College football or NFL football?
College football.
College or NBA basketball?
College.
You think soccer will ever be a relevant sport in the United States?
Yes.
Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
If you could live anywhere, where would you live?
New Mexico.
Favorite band?
Josh Abbott Band.
Favorite song?
Oh, that's a great question. let me think about this. I don't know that I actually have a favorite song, but if I had to choose something right now, I would say Fuzzy by Randy Rogers.
All right, and last question for you, Coach. Would you rather have to fight Mike Tyson or talk like him forever?
Oh, I would love to talk like Mike Tyson forever.
Okay.
Right. Give us your best of Mike Tyson impression.
Hey, man, what are we doing on the phone? How long are we going to talk on the phone now?
That's pretty good, Coach.
All right. Thank you.
Well, that's about going to do it for us on this segment. And we'd love to talk to you again later on, especially after you've had your first season. But we're going to take a quick break and then come back to talk more sports later on.
Sounds good.
All right. This is KETR's Locker Room.
Hello, I'm the host of Latin Soul, David Herbaz. Join me on Tuesday night for a show that will spice up your life with selections of jazz and soul and more in a Latin style. Latin Soul, Tuesday night at 9, only on 88.9 KETR.
This is Renee Montaigne of NPR's Morning Edition. Did you know that of all the networks, NPR is among the most highly regarded in the news media? Take time right now to renew your membership to public radio. Better yet, become a sustaining member to this station. The fact is, we cannot do it without you.
All right, we're back here on KETR's Locker Room. Cooper Welch, Big Chris, and Jordan Davis here with me. We had Coach Michael Madrid on here earlier in the program, but of course, if you're listening to this, you already know that. So now, guys, it's time to get into the big swing of things and talk the big deal for this summer, NBA free agency. The big deal right now, anyways. So just an update on what's going on. Dwight Howard has had a meeting with every team that has a significant chance with him, whatever that may be for significant. And right now, Golden State is trying to trade away huge expiring contracts of Andrew Bogut, which is $14 million, Richard Jefferson for $11 million, and Andres Biedrins, which is $9 million.
Richard Jefferson getting paid $11 million?
Yes.
Wow.
He got that contract yes. from my Spurs.
Yes, they gave him that much money.
Yeah,
you
it was
see
a,
what he
a very stupid contract.
Very stupid.
Yeah, I can see what trying to unload that money right there.
Wow.
Yeah. And obviously they have to get rid of at least one of these to make enough room for Dwight Howard to sign there because they don't have cap room right now. Utah is interested in a trade for Bogut right now.
Of course.
But any trade that happens would probably need at least a bunch of draft picks, like two or three first rounders in the next few seasons, or Klay Thompson or Harrison Barnes, or maybe even both. So whatever happens, the Warriors are going to lose a lot trying to get Dwight Howard. And even if all this works out, the Warriors would still need more money to sign Jarrett Jack and Carl Landry, who are both free agents, and both are looking for big offers this year, especially after the good playoffs that Jarrett Jack had.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the chances are for Golden State?
Slim.
Okay.
I don't think Dwight won't fit in Golden State, simply because the youth there, he wants to go somewhere to win now. So Golden State, you know, even though they made it to the second round, they're still a work in progress. Mm-hmm. I still give them another season before they're really up there. But I honestly think it's either going to be Houston or it's going to be the Lakers. Because if you think about it, you go somewhere where they're focusing on the post. The coach for the Lakers already told him, look, if that's the case, I'll stop doing what I'm trying to do and fit your system. But, I mean, I don't think he went to the Lakers simply because Kobe, way he talked to him. And I watched on SportsCenter how he was like, you stay here, I can teach you. And Dwight's like, you don't have to teach me nothing. I'm Dwight Howard. Like, you need me. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to go to Houston for two reasons, state tax, and then getting to play with Harden, somebody that can really score.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if he go to Houston, he's going to get the ball however many times he wants because they're going to trade a lot of pieces away to get him. Mm-hmm. So, Big Chris, what you think about it?
All right. Well, you know, my man JD, he said the chances of him going to Golden State is slim. I'm going to say the chances are none.
Yeah.
Slim to none.
Yeah.
It's none. I think, I like the whole thing you said about going to Houston. Houston, I think, is the most likely place he'll go. You got to remember that Dwight Howard is a person that you know, really loves the attention and the notoriety. He gets that a lot in L.A. He would get that a lot in Dallas as well, you know, those large media markets. But as far as you said the state tax, Texas has a low state tax and things like that. You have to look at those kind of things. Because players, they have to, live lives outside of playing basketball. Yes, they're getting paid all this money, but they have to pay taxes on all that money.
Yeah.
And so, Texas' state tax are not as high as, say, being in California, with Golden State or Los Angeles or, things like that. So, that's a possibility. As well as being in Houston, it's a young James Harden there. I got a young Jeremy Lin. They have draft picks and things like that. They could trade away and move around some things. They have the cap space.
Yep.
He can go down there in Houston to be the man in Houston. It's not a boring city, at all either. Yeah.
Celebrities everywhere in Houston.
Yeah. It's a great nightlife. And so, look at those things.
You mentioned the big media presence in Dallas and Los Angeles. Well, Houston has their own TV channel. The Houston Rockets have their own TV channel in China.
They do.
They are the number one attraction for Chinese people for the country of China. Bigger than the Lakers, bigger than the Knicks, bigger than anyone. Because the Houston Rockets have really done a good job of marketing to China. So he'd be a superstar immediately.
Right. Then he'll be with Coach McHale, who was a Hall of Fame postman with the Celtics.
Yep. Hall of Fame power forward.
So he's going to know that, okay, you come here, I'm going to give you the ball.
Yeah.
Because we need a postman because Sheik, he's pretty good, but he's not Dwight Howard.
Yeah,
at the same thing, I remember too, Dwight Howard, he's from Atlanta, he's a Southern boy, so he likes the South.
He's a South. So South.
I would like to see him maybe go back home to Atlanta, I'm not a Hawks fan, but it's not going to happen. They don't have enough. It's not enough.
Not enough.
In Atlanta for him to go there. I don't see him in Dallas. I possibly could, but the thing is they haven't made any, great moves at the guards.
Right.
Dirk probably has another 4 years left at, I think maybe five.
Yeah.
And so he'll be the man in Dallas, but I don't think Mark Cuban is willing, to give up so much for Dwight Howard. Yeah, he'll be giving up Sean Marion plus the next first round draft pick for the next 3 years to get Dwight Howard. So
well, let's talk about what the Mavericks would have to do and what their roster may look like if they got Dwight Howard somehow. Right now, it's looking like they're interested in José Calderón, which they think they could get him for a significantly less price if Dwight Howard signed there.
Why?
Yeah, I mean, he's okay.
They said they was trying to get Brandon Jennings.
Yeah.
That was a way better pick than José. José Calderón's not going to do nothing in Dallas.
They're also looking at Monta Ellis. They're looking at Mo Williams. They're looking at a few other people.
Oh, my God.
Jarrett Jack is one of them. But that's what the roster would be. Jose Calderon is the starting point guard, and then Shane Larkin, the Miami draft pick, who I'm pretty high on.
He should start.
He could start too.
He's a nice looking kid.
Yeah, he should start.
But he'd be second string, and then their recently signed rookie out of Israel, Gal Mikel, it would be third string. And then at shooting guard, it'd be Chauncey Billups, signed for the veteran minimum, Vince Carter as a backup, Ricky Lito, third string, and Josh Akognon, I don't know that name. And then for small forward, get this, there's ESPN would say Matt Barnes, of all people, who is not a big Dallas fan.
No,
he's not at all.
he hates Dallas with a passion.
ESPN's, though, saying that he would end up as the starting small forward for the Dallas Mavericks with Jay Crowder as his backup and Anthony Moreau in third string. Then power forward would be Dirk Nowitzki with Brandon Wright backing him up. And then Dwight Howard starting center with Elton Brand signed to a significantly less portion of money as well and Bernard James backing him up. So, I mean, think about it. A starting rotation of Dwight Howard, Dirk Nowitzki, Matt Barnes, Chauncey Billups, and Jose Calderon, or Shane Larkin, either one.
It's not enough.
It's not enough, but it's a good team.
But if you're a Dwight Howard, that's not a good enough team to go to.
Well, the thing I see there, though, is that Chauncey Billups, he can play the one and the two.
Yeah.
Matt Barnes can play the two and the three. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not necessarily – it's not the best starting five in the NBA.
No.
By far.
It's not
like a starting five like you're going to see in Brooklyn or a starting five you're going to see in Miami. It's nowhere near that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I can see them winning, you know, 45 games.
Yeah, 45. No, 50. No close to 50. But they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs.
Definitely.
With a, you know, with a you They'd know, be seven
the,
seed.
The same team as this year, pretty much.
Pretty much.
They have a dominant big man, though.
Yeah.
You also remember that, you know, most of, you know, the 2012 season, 2012, 2013 season, they played, you know, the first half of that season without Dirk.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, that's a big improvement. Anytime you get, you know, the future Hall of Famer back, it's going to be
a big improvement.
It's going to be automatically that much better.
But you see, if they get like a better guard, now say if, instead of Jose Calderon, leave him in Detroit, say if they get a Brandon Jennings. They get Brandon Jennings, Chauncey Billups, Matt Bourne, Nowitzki, and Howard. You're talking about a top five Western team.
But could you play? I mean, could you pay Jennings with Dirk with Dwight? Could you pay all those guys?
No, you can't. No, but you know, Jennings is only asking for $12 million.
Yeah.
He's not asking for more than $15 million. He says he just wants to go to a better team and get like average pay.
Okay.
So anytime you got somebody that cold asking for that much money, it's like they can afford to get Dwight because Dwight would only get 84 off top because he can't get no more than a 4-year contract. I mean, if you want to get the moolah, he's going to stay in L.A., but he's not trying to deal with Kobe.
Nothing's more important than the moolah.
That's true.
But I think he's better in Houston because you got Parsons, you got Lynn, you got Harden.
And they're thinking about trading Lynn, too.
And you know, they could get somebody like Brandon Amante to come to Houston. Yeah. Now, you talk about Amante and Dwight on the same team. That's defense. That's quickness. That's offense. And then you put Ellis with Harden.
Mm-hmm. That's a lethal backcourt right
there. What? And then you got Dwight, and then you got Parsons. That's a team.
That's a.
And you in H Town.
And they'd probably be able to keep Omar Askey as a backup.
Yeah, because I mean, his tall behind is gonna be like, well, I mean, I'm chilling.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about other free agent moves that the Mavs could make, maybe, and other teams that have really made a move. Now, J.R. Smith and the Knicks have reached a deal.
I knew that was going to happen. I figured it'd stay too. Melo was like, no, you staying.
Yeah. And then Al Jefferson, who I thought was the second best possibility for the Mavs.
Went to the Bobcats.
I saw that.
For $41 million.
A 4-year, $41 million. Now, it's not official until July 10th.
Yeah.
And
but
he
still.
Could, yeah. I know.
The Bobcats?
I don't get it either.
Like, he could have went to Dallas. Like, that would have been Dallas' second straight-up pick. Mm. Like, okay, we can't get Dwight, we'll get Al, because Al Jefferson's 17-10.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the best big men. He just played for the Jazz. You didn't hear about him. But the Bobcats.
Yeah, I think the reason he went to the Bobcats is because they were the only ones that would offer him even over $40 million. He was asking for 60, a 4-year $60 million contract. But he only got 40. So
60? Mm-hmm. Come on, Al. Yeah. Come on, Al.
Al, you're not. I mean,
you're not
good.
You're good, but you're not worth $60
you're
million.
You're not $60 million good.
No. What?
But that's over, and I really wanted him from our Spurs, but that's not going
to
happen.
Hey, the Spurs are in the front run to get Greg Oden.
Yeah, that's true.
Greg Oden. You guys want that problem?
Hey, if he's healthy, he could be great.
Hey, when he's healthy, when he played for the Trailblazers, He was doing good.
Good.
And then he got hurt.
When he played for the Trailblazers for those 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, he got two blocks, two rebounds.
Hey, I mean, the Spurs also re-signed Tiago Splitter. Not the biggest fan of him. And they re-signed Ginobili. But they also signed Marco Bellinelli from the Bulls. So he should be taking over Ginobili's role.
He'll probably start over Ginobili. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got... it looks like Gary Neal is going to leave the Spurs because he's getting
huge contract offers. Good for Gary. Gary needs to leave San Antonio.
Okay.
If he go anywhere else, I think Gary can make an all-star team because he can score. It's just in San Antonio, he's just behind, you know.
Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, you're in their shadow. Yeah.
So if he go anywhere else, I think it'd be a good fit.
And he was an undrafted kid that was in the summer leagues for 3 or 4 years. I saw him play, and it was really impressive in summer leagues.
Okay, but I want to see how, you know, Gary Neal is going to do now where, you know, if he goes somewhere else, you know, how he's going to play with not having, okay, you know, teams have to worry about, you know, Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Mano now or whatever. So now, you know, Gary Neal is the man. You know, how can he play, you know, being the man now? You know, we saw James Harden do it. You know, he did a good job of it, but, you know, I mean, James Harden is James Harden.
That's the beard, man.
He has the power of
the
beard.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what else is going on. The Mavs are still talking to Andrew Bynum.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's worse than going for Greg Oden.
Yeah.
He hadn't played in a year. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. The Mavs would be better getting Pekovic because Pekovic, a lot of people don't know him, but he plays for the Timberwolves. He's a big body.
And he's a good player.
And he can score. Mm-hmm. He gave Dwight buckets. I saw my two eyes. He gave Dwight buckets. Dunking on Dwight.
Yeah.
See, the thing about Andrew Bynum is hard. It's still hard to resist a 7'1" man in the NBA. It's hard.
His haircut?
Yeah. He flat ironed it straight.
Yeah, it's a little like a mop on top of his head.
Like he was a Lipman. Turn him upside down to get the whole floor clean.
I was like, right? Man, you're a millionaire. Why is your hair looking like this? And he sprained his knee again bowling.
Yeah.
Like, you're 7 feet tall. How you hurt yourself bowling?
Oh, man.
I don't know. But the one thing about Pekovic, is that he's probably staying in Minnesota because they're going to offer him.
Yeah,
whatever.
You know, Minnesota got the money to offer anything. You know, Kevin Martin went to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So Minnesota has Kevin Love, Kevin Martin, and if they keep him and Rubio, they might, you know, make the playoffs this year.
Yeah. That's a team to watch for a while, too, with all those young guys.
Yeah, they got a lot of young ones.
A lot of young guys on that team.
But the thing to talk about next year, I think, is going to be Kevin Love. He's going to be a free agent, and I think that's one of the
And he's going to be healthy.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the big part.
I think, honestly, if I was in the Mavs situation with all the stuff that's going on right now and that they're probably not going to get Dwight Howard, you kill your team this year, you bomb, you get a bunch of draft picks, you cut a bunch of people and have a bunch of money, you sign Kevin Love and maybe another semi-big name in the 2014 free agency.
But I don't know.
They just tried to do that.
Yeah,
And why would you have Kevin Love and Dirk on the floor at the same time?
That's not good.
Dirk may not be back for much longer.
But they need a big man that can play defense.
That's true.
Like, they need another Tyson Chandler because Dirk can't play defense.
What was the worst move that Dallas ever made was losing Tyson Chandler.
Losing him. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Mark
Cuban.
That's the reason why don't nobody want to go to Dallas.
That's the reason when the championship, though, was Tyson Chandler. Mm-hmm. Among, you know, Deshaun Stevenson. Yeah, Stevenson, those guys. But, you know, Tyson Chandler played a big role.
A huge role.
Right. Well, Mavs are also taking a look, as we said earlier, Jose Calderon, Mel Williams, Jarrett Jack, and Monta Ellis, and Brandon Jennings. But they're also looking at Andre Iguodala, who would be a good replacement for Sean Marion if he leaves.
I don't think they can get him. I think, you know, even though he opted out his contract in Denver, Andre Iguodala needs a team where he can run with. He needs some guards. He can care less about big men. He just needs some guards.
He would fit perfect in Golden State.
That's the perfect team for him. Either Golden State, Denver, or, you know, I could even see him in the West again, somewhere like a Phoenix or something like that, somewhere where they run the ball. Dallas, their system's too slow for Andre. You know, I don't see it happening.
Right. And then the last one that we have to talk about, it's not on here because it just happened, Tyreke Evans is going to
the Pelicans.
The Pelicans. He got traded in a three-team trade.
Wonder how he felt.
The Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Kings.
Kings
traded Tyreke Evans. It looks like Grievous Vasquez is leaving the Pelicans and going to Sacramento. And Robin Lopez is going to Portland. And that frees up enough money for the Pelicans to get Jrue Holiday from the 76ers.
Yep.
And then Tyreke Evans is going to the Pelicans as well. So they're going to have Tyreke Evans and Drew Holiday and
Anthony Davis.
And Eric Gordon in a three-guard rotation.
That'd be unique to see in the NBA.
That's like some Villanova things going on
That's the thing, though. Like, how you gonna play Gordon and Tyreke? Because you can't put Gordon at the three. He's too little.
Yeah.
You can't put Tyreke at the three. He's too little. Mm. So unless you just make them both just play at the same time, if they get Drew Holiday, he's a point.
You could have two wings and one in the middle. So you could have, put Drew Holiday, in the middle the point and have Tyreke and Gordon on the wings. Do it like that.
Yeah, I mean, if it worked, they'll be small, but, if they could play defense.
They're going to have a lot of up and down nights, I'll tell you that much.
They're also talking about trading Eric Gordon because he wants out of New Orleans.
I would too.
Yeah.
I would too. We're named the Pelicans. I'm getting out of town. Like, the mayor named my team the Pelicans. The Hornets, okay, that's a little intimidating, the playing New Orleans Hornets. But the Pelicans?
Yeah.
Like, ain't nothing scary about a Pelican. And then the jerseys are red, black, and gold.
Man, just think about what that team would have been like if Anthony Davis and Nerlens Noel had gone there.
I don't think it wouldn't have been that dramatic.
I don't know, man. I think Twin Towers, you can't get in there. And you've got,
still, only one could score and the other one can't score.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, you got to look at what happened before in San Antonio with David Robinson and Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. When, David Robinson's getting a little bit older, he kind of stopped scoring as much and let Tim Duncan start to take care of the score.
But he still could score.
He still could. But, I mean, you got these two young guys coming up together, and they will be able to play well together. They'll be able to be athletic enough to hop around and jump around.
And they're going to hop around to last place. Because you got to think about it. Everybody in the West is stacking up. The Clippers, they're stacking up. They could beat the Mavericks at this point. But everybody else in the West, like the Thunder, the Warriors, the Spurs, who else? Like, you think about the teams that made Yes, if the White go to Houston, the Pelicans are still going to suck.
But the thing is that you got to look at it too now. Every team is trying to stack up. I mean, everybody's trying to make these big deals and big trades this team does that, so I got to have this guy to match this guy, and this guy to do this guy. It's a chess match going on, and it gets interesting, but at the same time, I miss the kind of days in the NBA where, guys just stayed in one place, and they played there, 10 to 15 years and caught it a career.
You got to think about it. Money is more in today's game than it was back then.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. If you're a good player, no matter how loyal you are to your team, if somebody coming offer you a four-year, $50-something million contract.
Yeah,
you got to think about your family. You got to be like,
We saw that, before in 2010. So
I mean,
you got to remember that back in the day, basketball wasn't even always televised.
Like, that's
the
true.
Exactly. The finals weren't even televised back in the 70s. So basketball is a much bigger system than it used to be.
That's true.
All right, well, let's end the discussion for today with some NFL questions. First up. If you could trade Tony Romo for one of last year's rookie sensations, RG3 or Andrew Luck, Colin Kaepernick or Tim Tebow, would you trade for the
Chris, of them? This is your team.
I'm a Cowboys fan for life.
This is your team.
You know what? I wouldn't even trade Tony Romo for one of those rookie sensations. Okay. And reason being, let's take Russell Westbrook or still basketball.
Not Russell Westbrook.
Russell Wilson. Let's take Russell Wilson. Okay, he's not really a big guy, okay? So I'm going to throw that out there. Let's take RG3. He's a running quarterback. I'm not a fan of running quarterback. They get hurt a lot. Look at Michael Vick. Look at Vince Young. Look at, RG3. Those guys get hurt a lot. Andrew Luck is the probably the most I get closest to with trading him. But, statistically, Romo has been one of the top five quarterbacks for the past 5 years. Okay,
statistically,
not
wins wise,
not wins wise, but statistically speaking, he has been one of the top five quarterbacks, and that's up there with Eli, Peyton, Drew, Rodgers. It's up there with those guys.
And Matt Schaub, don't forget him.
Yeah, Matt Schaub. You're right. You're right. Colin Kaepernick. Once again, he's a running quarterback. I'm not a big fan of him. And come on, Tim Tebow, really.
Tebow would never play for me. I wish Tebow would come to my team.
Now, obviously, what's his name? Jerry Jones bringing Tim Tebow in for ratings and for money-wise. But
I see him doing that, too.
But, nah, I wouldn't.
If it was up to me, Right. If like I absolutely wanted to trade away Romo, like, you know, stats are cool, but if I just got enough of Romo and I just had to trade for a younger one, the closest one that would fit the Cowboys system, you know, speaking like Troy Aikman wise and stuff,
right,
would be Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck.
Because he's a pocket passer, he can make every throw on the field, mm-hmm. and then, you know, he's still young and he's mobile. Like, a lot of people don't think he's that
Andrew
mobile.
Luck can move.
He can move in the pocket. So if this trade would happen, you know, I think the perfect fit would be have to be Andrew.
Well, what about like a second-tier quarterback like Matt Schaub, or maybe, I guess, Eli Manning is kind of that, even though he's won two Super Bowls.
I don't consider Eli a second-tier quarterback, honestly. I mean, in some ways, I think he's better than Peyton.
Okay.
I mean, you can go ahead and say, hey, look, he's won more playoff games. He's won more Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he hasn't had more yards, but that's just because Peyton was in the league, you know.
Since, like, 99.
He was in the league, you know, about 4 or 5 years before Eli got there.
Right.
And so in some ways, I can say Eli is better than Peyton. So I wouldn't say Eli is a second tier, honestly.
Okay, well, would you trade for Eli or Michael Vick?
First of all, I would never trade in the division. No, there's no way. I'm not an Eli fan. I don't like Eli Manning. I don't know him as a person, but I feel like I would have nothing in common with him.
You think he's better than his brother?
Oh yeah. Don't get me wrong. He's a great quarterback.
I'll take his brother before I take Eli.
Yeah.
I know Peyton only won one, but you gotta think about it. Like, the reason why Peyton hasn't won more rings is because of Tom Brady. He runs into Tom Brady every year.
And I'll tell you this, it might sound crazy, but Peyton Manning is the best point guard in the NFL.
If you
get what I'm saying.
Yes.
Peyton Manning is the best point guard in the NFL.
Right.
So yes, I would do that, but no, I would never trade Tony Romo for Eli Manning. Because at the same time, you know, Tony Romo is notorious for escaping the pocket. He's notorious for comebacks, especially last season. So I would hate for him to play for the Giants and then we turn around and lose to Tony Romo on the last second touchdown pass or something like that.
Right.
So.
Well, what about Matt Schaub from the Texans or Joe Flacco from the Ravens?
No.
Okay.
No.
Why not?
No, because you got to think about it. The Cowboys, they have a certain system unique from everybody else's.
Okay.
Like, they focus on the run first. They want to, even though they haven't. They have a pretty good running back in DeMarco Murray.
Right.
I mean,
he's amazing.
Well, against the Rams, he ran for over 200 yards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got any running back that can do that in an NFL game, you need to give him the ball.
That's true.
I mean, with Dez, Miles, and Witten, I mean, that trio is, like, good enough. So, I mean, a quarterback has to be smart to play for the Cowboys. You just can't put any quarterback
in. Speaking of the Cowboys, congratulations to Phil Costa. He got engaged to
Brooke
Hogan.
Yeah,
to Brooke Hogan yesterday, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what about just for the top tier, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady? Would you ever trade for either of those guys if that was just Tony Romo straight up? I would definitely
trade for Tom Brady.
Okay.
He won three rings.
It might sound crazy, and it's kind of going to defeat the purpose of what I said earlier about small guys, but I would trade for Drew Brees, and the reason being is because Drew Brees is a Texas guy, and I just have something about that.
True,
Drew Brees, he's from Texas.
Drew Brees is a Texas guy, so I
would try to bring Drew Brees
back. And Drew's going to win games.
Or maybe even a Matt Stafford, you know, a Matt Stafford kind of guy.
If he stay healthy.
I mean, people forget that, you know, I mean, Drew Brees has the record for most passing yards in the season, but Matt Stafford is right after him.
Yeah.
So
people forget
about People forget about that. Matt Stafford had one heck of a season 2 years ago. So, I mean, Matt Stafford is no scrub either.
All right. Well, what about this? What's the biggest hole for the Cowboys right now?
The biggest hole for the Cowboys is that we need a GM.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's the biggest hole of the Cowboys roster.
Like, whenever you take away from the head coach job, the head coach for the Cowboys can't do nothing. Like, he can't even come up with his own ideas because Jerry's going to say, no, we're going to do it this way. And I'm like,
that's
Jerry.
That's why Bill Parcells left.
Yeah, like, you got all these real coaches like Jimmy Johnson. Like, man, forget you, man. I'm finna go somewhere else where I can do what I want to do. Because I'm pretty sure, what's his name, Jason Garrett? I'm pretty sure Jason Garrett got pretty good ideas for the Cowboys.
He's all right.
But he can't never stress his opinion because Jerry owned everybody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I see both sides of it. You know, Jerry Jones, I mean, the Cowboys is his investment. I mean, that's his team. He owns them. Okay, so he wants to make sure every aspect is running right. He wants to make sure, hey, you know, you're putting bounty in the, in the towels and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah.
Don't put bounce. I want this. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, he wants to make sure everything is right. He micromanages everything. At the same time, even though Jerry Jones does micromanage, you did hire of Jason Garrett, you know, be a head coach. Yes. Let him coach. He's with the team day in and day out. You know, I mean, Jerry Jones does not have to be at practices. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to be in the locker room.
He chooses to.
He chooses to be, but Jason Garrett is the coach. He knows these players on a better level than Jerry Jones does. Mm-hmm. So let him be the coach and let him do what he does.
And I think Jerry puts a lot of fear in the players because if you always see your manager, your president, and your owner at everything, it puts a lot of pressure on you as a player to produce because it's like he's breathing down my neck all the time. Like, I bet Romo will be like, Jerry, can you please chill out? Like, I know I threw some interceptions, but God, man, like.
No, but seriously, I think the biggest hole for the for the Cowboys as far as a personnel standpoint on the field, I would have to go with the offensive line. You know, I'm a person that believes that the teams are built from the inside out. I would take a great offensive line and defensive line for a team just to great. I would spend all my money there and take me a mediocre quarterback.
Because he's going to succeed.
He's going to succeed. At least he'll have less pressure as well.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you think about it. Who took a lot of hits last year? Let's think of Ben Roethlisberger. Michael Vick, but Ben Roethlisberger took a lot of hits last year. We all know that Big Ben, as strong, as physical, as
and
big
Jay
as a body. Jay Cutler. As big as those guys are. And Jay Cutler's not a bad quarterback. He's taking a lot of flack. But he's not a bad quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger, he already has two Super Bowls. He's not a bad quarterback. Mm-hmm. But you take those guys who are exceptional players. They were great in college. They came in, high draft picks. They have bad offensive lines. And
horrible.
they cannot play behind those offensive lines, And so I would go ahead and give me a great offensive line and build my team from inside out. Because therefore, if you have a good offensive line, you can run the ball. You can pass the ball. You can work off a play action and have a great balanced offense that makes it more difficult on the defense and vice versa. If you have a great defense of line and stuff like that.
Get to the quarterback.
Get to the quarterback. You can stop the run. You can, apply pressure on the passes. The linebackers are freed up to do what they have to do.
How you think
the secondary
San Francisco
play
so
that
good?
Bad. Exactly. Yeah. And you saw it with the Giants, and they won the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl, of these past two, when they had that four wide technique, and they did that with them. Florida tried to do the same thing, and Florida succeeded with doing the same thing that the Giants did against Michigan a few years ago. So, I feel that that's the most important thing is for them to get that offensive line going, the defensive line going, and then work their way out from there. Because they already had the pieces in place, like you said earlier, with Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, Jason Witten, DeMarco Murray.
They got it.
Those kind of guys, they spent the money in the secondary because before, for years, the Cowboys, Achilles' heel was a secondary.
Yeah.
Everybody said that. Well, now it's not that anymore. It's the offensive line now. So we address the secondary with Claiborne and Carr and those guys. Well, now your best offensive lineman is Doug Free.
Ooh, he got so many penalties.
If the Cowboys had 30 penalties in the season, he's going to have about 25 of them.
Right.
So, it's just, it's offensive line first and then everything else after to me.
Well, last question for today. How do you think the Cowboys will deal from the move from 3-4 to 4-3?
Me personally, I like the 4-3 better than the 3-4 because I believe if you have four good defensive linemen that can get through the holes, pressure the quarterback, the linebackers, to me, if you're dealing with a 3-4, you got to have good coverage linebackers because it's not a running lead no more. It's a passing lead. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to have a four linebacker front, you better make sure them four linebackers can cover ground and can cover people in man, because if you can't cover people in man, it's pointless running the 3-4.
Okay, my thing on that is that, I feel that with our linebackers, you got DeMarcus Ware who can, be like the first hybrid kind of player. He's out there. You have Sean Lee, Anthony Spencer, I guess it was like our starting linebackers right there. If you look at those guys in that 4-3, you have to have fast linebackers in a 4-3 defense. You have to because you have less linebackers. Mm-hmm. Sean Lee's speed is no question. He's fast. He can play ball. Anthony Spencer, he's gotten a little bit older. He's lost a step. And DeMarcus Ware is always going to be a beast, so I'm not worried about him.
Yeah.
But as we look at it, it's going to be kind of hard to see how it's going to work. I don't know yet because before, also with that 3-4, it allowed DeMarcus Ware to play that hybrid. Now he's going to be pretty much one or, you know, a DN or outside linebacker. He's not going to be able to kind of play in between both.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and that was one of the assets for the Cowboys. Now, at the same time, I feel that it works better when we have to play teams like Philly or teams like Washington where we have that option going on, especially with Chip Kelly's new offense and things like that, and dealing with Andrew Luck with, RG3 with the, options and stuff. So I feel that would work better with the defensive end, you know, reading the end man and things like that. But, I mean, we'll see what happens with it. I'm optimistic. I'm a Cowboys fan, so it's going to be something new to see. It's going to be, I think I'll like it. But it's all going to come down to how fast those linebackers are, and if that defensive tackle and that nose guard can go in there and penetrate that A gap, that B gap, and that C gap with Jay Ratliff and those guys, then we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, that's going to about do it for us today on Locker Room. We're going to be back on Tuesday. We're going to discuss whatever happens with Dwight Howard should be known today.
Mark my words, he's going to Houston.
Okay. Jordan's down for Houston.
JD says Houston.
Houston.
If he goes anywhere else, it's going to be because either money or because he don't plan on being with them for long.
I think he's staying with L.A. Okay.
It's either L.A. or Houston to me.
All right.
Either one of them.
I'm going to go Houston, too. I think it's going to happen. But we'll talk about that next week. The fallout from that, all the other pieces will fall together real quickly once he goes. And we'll also talk more NFL football. We'll talk the Rangers. And we're hoping to have more local guests and really get that portion of the show started. But anyway, that was today's episode. I'm Cooper Welch.
I'm Jordan Davis.
And I'm Big Chris.
And we will see you next week. This is KETR's Locker Room. Thank you.